This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Do we lie?
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with a very special co-host this weekend, the other Dr. Mental. Hey, Norm.
You know, I've got to get over this. Yeah, I have this deep-seated problem with this other thing.
How about the doctor's mental?
The doctor's mental.
That's hard to say.
No, the doctor's mental.
Oh, the doctor's, it would just be singular, wouldn't it?
Yeah, right.
Even though there's two of us. Okay.
Well, doctors.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, good. You got it.
Okay.
Pretend you're doing it again. No, forget it.
The other guy.
Let's just
the other guy is here.
Yeah,
the other part of my.
You know, we're arguing already, and this show's about marriage.
That's right.
How is that going to work?
And we're going to give them tips
to
stay married for a lifetime. Maybe this is one of them, that you can argue and you can be okay. Hey, listen, I want to let everyone know that Chris will be back next time, and every weekend we're here and we're doing life together, and we're really glad that you've joined us. But we've already launched into it from the get-go, haven't
well
we?
And we might as well. I mean, if you wanted to talk about marriage, then I guess you had to have me on, because you're not married to Chris.
That's right. That's
and
right.
We've been married for a lifetime. I mean, it's been
we
a very
have.
Long time, right?
So who better to do this show with than
exactly,
you?
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Right.
I think it's really great to talk about marriage because it's one of my favorite things in life. And,
I
elicited an oh.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. So maybe we can contribute a few facts to this conversation.
I think
what do you
we
think?
Might have a couple things to say. And by the way, one of our producers went out on the street and found some other opinions about staying married for a long time. Listen to this.
I think staying married for a lifetime is definitely a possibility. I definitely can see that being really hard, but I think the tip to that is like handling conflict well. Like, it's not how much you fight, it's how you fight. So I think that's the tip to it.
I think the way to stay married is to have a commitment to the vows.
Boy, I think the first lady read my book, We Need to Talk.
I think she cheated. I think she did.
That is exactly what I say in that book, that it's not whether or not you have conflict in a marriage.
Because you will.
You will have conflict. It's normal. It's a part of every single relationship, not just marriage relationships, but every relationship. But the way you handle it is what matters. And the real key here, and I'll just give you the 5-second version of what you need to remember from that book, is that you don't want conflict to escalate. So that's really important when we're talking conflict. And did you know that being married makes men and women happier, Norm?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
And the stronger...
Everybody?
Hey, come on. Hey, and the stronger the commitment is, the happier we are. So that's pretty interesting. There was research that was done at Cornell University and Penn State University where they compared married couples to singles or people who are living together. And they found that even when the marriage is not happy... So listen to this. Hmm. Even when the marriage is not happy, both partners still have a better sense of well-being than people who are single or couples who are living together.
Because those people can be unhappy too.
Right. But even when they're not happy, I just think that's so
that is
fascinating,
amazing.
Isn't
right.
it? And one of the reasons they think that this could be is because there's something about the stability that people have when they're in a committed relationship.
Well, of course, if I know that no matter what, you're always going to be there, then that's the bedrock, the foundation of my life.
Yeah, and I know that there's divorce that happens, but you go in with the idea that this is going to be for a lifetime. But here's the kicker. I just think this is so interesting. It's not always that happy people necessarily get into happy relationships.
So happy people don't marry happy people?
Not necessarily.
Interesting.
But what happens is that the relationship, when they get married, seems to make them happy.
So cranky people get happy.
They do. So there's the case for marriage right there.
That's
you're cranky,
right.
Get married, you're going to feel better. Not so much all the time. I don't think that that's really true on all occasions. But if you want to improve your well-being, you need to find that special someone. And if you're in a relationship, you need to celebrate that happiness that you have.
Well, I think that stability is really important. But What makes the stability is commitment, right? Once you know you're committed, and that's what you do at the altar. When you commit to one another, you commit for life. And yet you were at a conference not long ago and you heard somebody who just kind of poo-pooed all of that, I guess.
Yeah, it was very hard for me because this is a nationally prominent marriage therapist and somebody who was actually one of my mentors. And what she started the conference with kind of threw me. She started by saying, marriage for a lifetime is a myth. And I about fell over. And I was really taken by that. I was sitting by a bunch of Navy chaplains. And so I looked at them for support, like, hey, guys, this is not true. And they went, well, you know, in our experience, a lot of people are divorcing. I think she has a point there. I refuse to give in to that.
Sure.
You and I are living proof, as are many, many other people. You can stay married for a lifetime. And we're going to give people tips on how to do that because we really believe that.
I agree. And just because it's their experience or because they're in a position where they get people coming into their office, and it's going to be negative. As a psychologist,
I know.
Happy people don't come to see you.
I know, that's true.
And happy people don't go see the chaplain. So, of course, the sample that they see is
that's
going
true.
To be skewed toward the negative.
Oh, you sound like a PhD.
Ooh.
Hey, this is what Richard said. Love is a choice. And you choose it every single day.
Boy, I like that. That's like choosing to be happy. You're choosing all sorts of good things, right? And Bridget even wrote in and said, for me, marriage is not just a commitment I made to my spouse, but also a sacred vow. There's an important word,
yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah,
I made to God. When I get upset or angry with my husband, I ask myself, do I deserve to be forgiven by God when I sin? The answer is no, but God gives me grace and forgiveness. So I must forgive my husband just as Christ forgives me. It helps me not to lash out in anger and to consider what I need to work on that caused me to get upset in the first place. She sounds really healthy.
You know, there's a lot in that response. And one of the things that is in there that we got over and over, and we got an avalanche of response to this topic, tips to stay married for a lifetime. A lot of people chimed in with so much good information, and consistently what she's talking about showed up, this whole idea of forgiveness, that forgiveness is so important in a marriage relationship. You know, we're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to not handle things well all the time. And if we get stuck in our anger and our unforgiveness, we're in trouble. So that's a really good one.
Well, Jesus taught, even in the disciples' prayer, or what we call the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts or our trespasses as we. The as we means, you forgive us, God, as long as we're forgiving, or to the extent that we forgive, or in the measure that we forgive, then God is free to forgive us. But if we don't, neither is he.
I saw a funny cartoon on that that said the 70 times 7 were to forgive 70
yeah,
times 7.
I saw that. Wasn't that great?
And someone said, oh no, I have to do math now.
I have to do forgiveness and math?
Yeah. I thought that was a funny conversation. Well, our first tip then, and we're going to go to the break with this tip, is that you have to make marriage a covenant, not just a contract. So you enter marriage with the idea that this is really an unbreakable promise, that you're going to fight to stay together, you're going to work through your problems, and you're going to be committed to one another for the long haul. And the reason this is so important is because expectation influences the way we behave.
Right.
And if we don't see it as more than a contract, then we're in trouble.
You know what? People can contact you at drlindamental.com, and we'll talk more about that as we continue, but that's how they engage with you.
Well, the other day I was cut off the road by a driver. Everything in me wanted to yell, hey, watch out. But I restrained myself, knowing that yelling at the driver would not do so much good, and it wasn't the best way to deal with my anger. Anger easily rises up in most of us. Anger, while a natural emotion, needs to be dealt with in the right way. The Bible tells us, be angry, but do not sin. So what is the biblical way to handle anger? Well, this is a question I answer in my short and easy book to read, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. That small book has sold over 130,000 copies because of how practical and helpful it is to everyday living. So if you want to be angry but not sin, practice what Scripture teaches. Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness is available on my website, drlindamental.com, and online where books are sold.
Hey, it's Chris Weigel here. If you missed the Dr. Linda Mental Show, you can catch up by reading her blogs or listening to her podcasts on the MyFaithRadio.com website.
The key to staying married for a long time is communication, and you got to have love in there too.
Well, you're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're talking about tips to stay married for a lifetime. And I've got my husband here as my co-host, and we believe it's possible because we've been married for a lifetime.
Holy moly, we sure
have
been.
Does it feel like a lifetime?
It's a lifetime together with you, woman.
And we're still laughing, and that's going to be one of the tips we're going to talk
about.
That's a good one.
I liked what that lady had to say, though. She said the key was communication.
Right.
And that's clearly an important part. But what if your family that you came from didn't communicate very well?
Well, that's one of the key issues, is that you have to look at the family patterns in a relationship, and you need to look at the history of the person. You need to look at how they treat their mom, how they treat their dad. Do they get along with their siblings?
Sure.
There's so many red flags. And you had the benefit of this, Norm, because as I trained to be a marriage and family therapist,
right.
We had to do marriage and family therapy. So we had to do work on our own families.
Someone once asked me, what's it like being married to a shrink?
Yeah.
I said, I don't know. I've never been married to anyone else.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this, we deal with our issues very quickly.
I think that's great that they make therapists actually do therapy on their own families.
Yeah.
I mean, how else
yeah.
could you learn it and really be authentic in what you do? It does matter, these family patterns. And the problem here is, or the good part of this is, if it's good or bad, you bring those family patterns into your marriage.
Sure.
And you tend to repeat them. I would say pay attention to what's going on in the person's family of origin before you get married. And then when you're married, look at those family patterns, because that's probably why you're having some problems.
Well, that's probably what you talked about in your book, I Married You, Not Your Family.
I should hire you as my publicist.
That's right. It's a great book. And you talk about 10 myths that people believe about marriage that are completely wrong, and why.
And the title of that book, I Married You, Not Your Family, is one of the 10 myths.
Right.
Because you don't marry a person. You marry the entire family. You get them as a package deal, whether you like them or not.
No kidding. Elizabeth wrote in, she said, it's important to listen to your spouse. You're not truly listening if you're thinking about what you're going to say next while the other person is talking. That's interesting.
That's just so true about communication, isn't it? If you're just sitting there and you're forming your own response, we do that during arguments a lot.
Sure, sure.
We're not listening to what's going on.
Well,
with
we're
the
getting
other
defensive and we're getting ready to retaliate.
Yeah. Rather than looking at the real problem and trying to listen carefully, put ourselves in the shoes of the other person, we just want to be ready to combat something
mm-hmm.
that is being
mm-hmm.
said. That listening communication is very, very important. I do think it's good too, Norm, to do premarital counseling. A lot of churches offer it. A lot
sure.
of people now go, more so than when you and I were getting married.
I don't
Did they
think,
even
I was about to say, I don't remember anyone even suggesting to us.
Oh my gosh, yeah. No, no one did.
No.
No one even had a conversation with us.
No.
Our parents did.
Well, my parents were missionaries in Argentina.
That's right.
You were able to first meet them at the wedding.
I know.
That was a wonderful thing
crazy?
For you. But I remember
mom and
dad. I
figured they were missionaries. How bad could they
that's
be?
That's right. I do remember one night, mom and dad sat us down and asked us if we had any questions. And
right.
I thought that was kind of
I thought that was
nice.
Great.
Yeah.
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 And your mom gave one piece of advice.
Oh, great
I will
advice.
Never forget this. She said.
Oh, you said the word never.
Well, that's right. That was part of the advice.
That's right.
She said, don't use the word always or never.
Never say never.
In your relationship.
Yeah.
I've remembered that for all these years. She also said, and this too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
And she used that as kind of one of the ways that she always thought about life and about relationships, which I thought was amazing.
Right. And no matter what's going on in your relationship, it's going to come to pass. The biblical phrase she used was, and it came to pass.
Yeah.
And she changed that, reframed it to mean, don't worry, this too will pass.
Right.
There will be a time when you come out of this difficulty or this problem or even this success. Things are going to change in life.
Yeah. Well, you have to address conflict, though. You can't avoid it and hope it'll pass. So
no.
I just want to throw that
no,
out
that's
there.
Good.
So premarital counseling is good because it points out the areas of vulnerability that you have, the strengths that you have going in the marriage. And that way you can be intentional about change. You can learn to accommodate the other person and you can really focus on the positives.
That's good. Here's what Sarah said about the premarital. She says, hey, make sure he loves the Lord more than he loves you.
Oh, I like that.
And that he makes you laugh. The rest is easy. She said, we're celebrating 40 years next June.
That is a great comment. I think humor is one of the tips when we're looking at tips. If you can keep humor going, you're going to have a much better life. And in fact, if you can use humor in the middle of a conflict, it helps to get out of that intense emotional feeling that you're having at the moment and re-engage the part of the brain that actually is rational. So humor is a great part of a relationship that makes a relationship last.
What about friendship? Is that important in marriage, do you
think? Oh, it's hugely important. It's one of the things that we call part of the sound marital house. So we say this is one of the foundational blocks. There's God as the absolute foundational block. But then on top of that, you have to have a strong marriage. If you strip away all the emotion and the attraction feeling and you don't like the person, you're in trouble. We really do need to spend time with our partner and develop that friendship and keep that friendship going. People can be very attracted to someone who would not make a good companion. Marital friendship is really the building block of a strong marriage. We've got another comment from a listener. Let's listen to that for a moment.
I think the key to being married for a long term is to respect each other and to always admit I was wrong.
I was wrong.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good one. And here's what Bruce wrote in. He said, start your relationship as friends. Care more about your spouse than you care about yourself and keep the oath you made to God to stay together. This has served us well. And here's another one. It says, for 40 years.
Wow, we got a lot of lifers here.
There's some lifers who are paying attention to this. I think back on when we met. And we met in college and you were a child. And I understand that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Very young. Yes, of course. We started out more as friends than as kind of a boyfriend-girlfriend kind of a situation.
Right.
So there was a relationship that was established that grew. Now, it's not like we were boring and we had to grow into love. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was that great foundation of liking each other.
Right. That's continued. I always say, if I wasn't married to that guy, I would like him as a friend. Elaine says, and I think this is part of that friendship, why friendship is so important, hard times will come. Illness, loss of jobs, you know, maybe a loss of a home, a death, difficulties with children, with parents. Storms are going to come in any relationship. Will you allow those storms to draw you closer and not apart? Allowing those things to strengthen your love, not destroy it.
Wow.
So if you have a good, strong friendship in the middle of all of that, friends stay together, even in the storm.
That's what Michael W. Smith sang, wasn't it? Friends. Or
I don't remember. Yeah, it was something about
this
friends.
This is radio. Somebody can insert the song.
Play the clip, but we don't have it. Okay. Sally on Twitter said, and this relates to friendship as well, make memories with each other. Mm. Journal them. Do pictures. When you've been married for a lot of years, you can look back and you can give thanks and you can have some laughs and remember good times.
But what happens when things start to go sour? So many people try to handle it on their own, but I would imagine as a psychologist and a therapist, you would say, hey, wait, go get some help.
If you're really struggling and you can't seem to make your way back to a positive feeling about your spouse, that's the time to go get help. Because we know from the research that once you start to have this overall negative feeling toward the person, where you're feeling critical, you're getting defensive, you're starting to feel contemptuous towards that person, and eventually you put up a stone wall, that means that you're in trouble and that you're becoming emotionally distant. Emotional distance is the number one predictor for divorce.
Wow.
That's why that friendship is so important. In the middle of those storms, you turn towards that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is when people turn outside for support and help,
well,
they look at somebody in the office who's listening to them better.
The eye starts to wander.
Yeah, or they go to drugs, or they go to compulsive shopping or some other kind of addiction to get help. It's better if you can turn to the person that's there. And if that relationship is going negative, then don't wait. Go in and get some help. Because what we see as marital therapists is that most often people come in when it's so far gone and they're so emotionally checked out that it's really difficult to turn the ship. Now, it's not impossible. And the good news is we know exactly what leads to divorce and we know how to turn things around. And certainly, if God is a part of that equation, it's much easier to do. When we come back, we've got so much stuff that people have sent us and comments that are so helpful and important. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Chris Weigel, co-host of the Dr. Linda Mental Show. And if you want to share a thought with Dr. Linda, just tweet at Dr. Linda Mental.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
Ever hear the expression, to have a friend, be a friend? Well, most of us have. If you really want to be a treasured friend, why not visit the Friendship Spa? Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor and author of the book, We Need to Talk. Now, before you think this sounds crazy and expensive, I'm not talking about a real spa. I'm suggesting that like a real spa, though, you enlist some soothing treatments for your friendships. Well, try this one. Why not soak your friend in prayer? Praying for someone else builds passion and compassion. It helps us see them as God does. Or how about this? Apply a liberal amount of encouragement. Just like aromatherapy, encouraging your friend's abilities and strength releases the sweet scent of trust and understanding. Sometimes a friendship might need a deep tissue massage to get at the root of a disagreement. But if you've been visiting the Friendship Spa, then the truth of Proverbs 27:6, where it tells us that the loving reproof of a friend will only make us and our friendship stronger, will take effect. So how about it? Why not give the Friendship Spa a try?
So I believe that the trick to staying married for a lifetime is communication and always rekindling love and finding ways to show love to one another, no matter what the circumstance.
Well, welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're talking about tips to stay married for a lifetime. And those people just reiterated what we've been saying about humor and keeping love alive and making sure that your friendship is strong in marriage. But there's another thing that's really important.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's very important, especially in Christian homes, because we know that if the foundation of our marriage is built on a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we vow to love one another for life before God and these people who are there in the wedding ceremony, then our communication with each other needs to be a reflection of our communication with God, which is prayer.
And prayer is a powerful weapon. And I really believe, Norm, that it's underrated when we're talking about preventing divorce, because it's very difficult to pray with your spouse when you're angry with your spouse.
Hmm.
You know, so there have been many times.
It's kind of impossible, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because there have been many times when you have just diffused the situation by saying, we're going to pray. And when you do that, you have to surrender it to God. I mean, what do? You're standing there. God knows what's in your heart. He knows what you've been saying. But there's something about that that takes the emotion down and refocuses it to the one who is our true helper in all those difficult times.
And if we start prayer and we use the model Jesus gave us, then we start by thanking God and praising God. Well, that kind of diffuses it too, because you can't really say, thank you, God, for this argument we've just been having right now.
Here's what one husband said on social media. He said, keep chronic problems in discussion, in prayer, and in motion. Ignoring them, avoiding them, pushing them away leads to more corrosion and deterioration. Keep a high standard for your marriage. I think that's a really great one.
That's good. I think one of the high standards is praising each other, too.
It is. You have to stay positive, and you have to be intentional with positive things in your marriage.
Don't you have a formula about how many good things you have
to say? It's not mine. It's actually out of the Gottman research. But in happy couples, for every one negative thing that is said, there are 20 positives.
Phew.
Now, for couples that are doing well and getting along, the rule is 5-1. For couples that are not doing well and are what we call disasters in their relationships, it's like 0.08-1. So there's not even 1-for-1 negative.
I can only imagine a cranky person going, you only gave me 19.
<That's right.
laughs> Wait, one more.
They wouldn't be getting those 20 things if they were having that kind of statement.
Well, if you talk about the positive and the negative, then I think we have to go back to another biblical tip. This comes from the Bible. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, which you would probably say, don't go to bed angry.
Right. And so we have to resolve things. I do want to say that if you're having trouble resolving, you are angry, go back to prayer. We had so many people say, pray together as often as you can. Prayer is the key. Pray together, forgive, cherish, honor the covenant, keep God first. So many people responded in terms of a lifetime of marriage.
Right. Well, not, that just proves it works.
It works. Yeah, it absolutely works.
So what do happy couples do? I know we're almost out of time. Tell me what happy couples do.
Let's do the 10 things that happy couples do. You've got the list. I've got the list. All we'll read a couple of them.
Okay.
First of all, they cultivate common interests. So I had to do that. I was not a soccer lover, you love soccer.
I love soccer. I grew up playing soccer.
I know, so I got to learn to like soccer.
Good.
Notice I didn't say love soccer.
I saw that.
But you've never learned to ski, so it's
I tried.
Skis. I know you tried.
I grew up in the tropics. I don't do winter sports.
I know. You don't love snow skiing.
I don't love. I
or
tried.
Ice skating.
I tried.
My two favorites.
Okay. I like this one. Go to bed at the same time.
Isn't that a good one?
That's an interesting
one. Go to bed
one.
Together. And don't go to bed angry, as we said before, but go to bed together, which is a big one. That's what happy couples do. Happy couples also walk hand in hand or side by side.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I thought you were supposed to say three paces behind me.
It's different country. Okay. Happy couples make trust and forgiveness their default.
I like this one. Focus on what your partner does right, not wrong. You know, that works for kids, too.
It does.
Find them doing something right instead of something doing wrong. And if you compliment your partner and say, wow, I really like that, but sincerely not, oh, I really like the way you did the dishes.
Right. It's catch them being good. It's that right. old parenting phrase, but it works with spouses. Actually, it probably works even better with spouses because we're so used to getting the bad. Hug each other as soon as you see each other after work.
Well, how about a kiss with that?
And a kiss with
Can
that.
We throw in a kiss.
Say I love you.
Would you do that when you come home tonight?
Say I love you and have a yes. Say I love you and have a good day. How about that every
good.
Morning?
And when you
We're
go to bed together, when you go to bed together, say good night.
Regardless of how you
right,
feel, right?
Right?
Do a weather check during the day, which means how we doing? Everything doing okay? Cloudy, stormy, sunny, and then be proud to be seen with your partner.
That's nice.
And I'm always proud to be seen with
you're
you. If people could see us right now. They can see how proud we are, but they can't see us.
Just imagine us.
I know. Well, we'll have a picture on Instagram. They can actually see us by going there. We're out of time. We could have done an hour on this show, but many thanks to our engineer, Caleb Carpenter, our producer, Katie Reschetko, our woman on the street, Pam Miller, and of course to you, my lifetime partner and special guest, Dr. Norm Mintel.
Thank you, sweetie.
And from all of us here at Faith Radio, talk to you next week. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
Do it live together. Reaching out with hope. Encouraging one another. Each step along the road. You and I can make everything a little better. Do it live together.
Dr. Linda Mintel Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.